Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
This couple that's with us tonight, they've been one of our missionaries for 15 years, and they're serving in Nepal, and they're working with YWAM, they're leading teams, they're planting churches, and they're the real deal. They are people of faith, people of humility. They have, when you're around them, you feel like you're seeing Christ manifested in their life, and it's incredible and it's encouraging. I just want to honor them tonight, but also want to welcome Mohan and Sangeeta Tamang. Thank you for being here with us. Can we give Mohan a hand?
There you go, my friend.
Yes, thank you. Okay, well, I'm really pleased to be here and honored to be here. And I'm not used to this kind of thing. You know, this is first time. I hope I look okay. My wife is, she's sitting over there, and we are really excited to be with you guys this evening. And it's wonderful to talk about Jesus, what he is doing in all over the world, and how powerful he is. You know, we cannot, he doesn't have any limitations. So he is mighty and amazing, and is the King of Kings. I love Jason's last name, and I was in his office yesterday. You guys have wonderful last names, King, Good, Wonderful, and on and on. And I was so happy. So King Jesus is also great Son of God, and he's so wonderful. And I just want to express our thank you to the Faith Bible Chapel family. We've been supported for over 12 years or even more, maybe even close to 15 years now. And it's been a wonderful relationship. Pastor Roger, he came to visit us in Nepal, and we traveled village to village, and it was very much, you know, what God is doing when Jesus was in the world, in the earth. So he also traveled a lot in the villages, you know, and he did a lot of experience in Nepal. So it's been many, many years of your prayers and your support and friendship. And Sangeeta and myself and our church planting teams are so much thankful for your support, for your prayer and partnership. And we see, you know, we can see, you know, the communities, let them know Jesus, and we can make difference in the kingdom of God. So that has been a good time of friendship, and we've been really welcome to Faith Bible Chapel and friends like Roger and some other friends. So I just want to say thank you. And I would like to start with a story. And here's a church planting couple. They've been working with us about 19 years. And about 7 months ago, they've been living in a small town doing church planting in the villages. And 2 months straight, they were going through financial difficulties in the town. So as a missionary, a lot of time people don't really, there is no other Christians that they could get help. And they both, husband and wife, they have a grown-up daughter, and they've been praying for their financial crisis. And during that time, one of the YWAM couple also moved down to that little town. And culturally, it is appropriate to invite them to their home and cook dinner, you know. But because of their financial crisis, they have not really, you know, gone to them and asked them to come to their house for supper. And they were so much struggling, didn't have money to buy meat, and they were just wondering and asking the Lord what to do. You know, it doesn't look really good. What are they going to think about us? It's been already, you know, several months they've been in the town, but they did not invite for dinner. And as they were going and praying, to a husband and a wife, and one day there was a big rooster came into their, you know, home, yard. And they started thinking, what is this rooster coming to in our house? And they just kicked the rooster out, and it just chased him far away. And he would come after 15, 20 minutes and come to his house. And he spent overnight in their house. A rooster is, you know, because of Hindu country, a lot of idol worship, you have to have rooster to sacrifice idols. And the roosters are very expensive. It costs like $25 to $30 a rooster. And next day, and they were so, you know, trying, they went to neighbors and telling them, showing them, is this rooster belong to any one of you? And they said, no, it's not ours. And they chase him again through the walk in a road, and he comes back again. So they said, well, what is this? We don't have money, and looks like we may have to invite this couple for dinner. And they did so, and they enjoyed it. And they said, well, no one has the owner of the rooster, and we're struggling for 2 months without finances, trying to buy meat. We could not offer to buy meat because of the money problem. But here comes the rooster, and we enjoy the dinner, and that was wonderful. And I was so, you know, surprised how God provided, and they were happy, we were happy, and everyone is happy. So God is good. And look at the meat, the rooster meat. So you guys can also, if you were there, you could also enjoy the meat. Just kidding. Okay, let's go through the videos. I'd just like to show some videos, what we've been doing recently, and from there on, I'll carry on a little bit of our stories. So this is that's one of the church planting village, and these people come from the village. They walk 6 hours to take baptism because they live way up in the mountains, and there is no water to take baptism, so they have to walk long hours. And mostly when it's a big group, and we just baptism class by the river, and we baptize them. So this is very typical. It's a river over there, and this is southern part of Nepal, and these people are called Chepang people. There are 55,000 people in Nepal, and we've been ministering in these communities about 15 years now. We have seen many, many people come to know the Lord, and the leaders of these communities have accepted Jesus. And this is typical life. They don't have roads or electricity, hospital. You just walk and walk. Let's go to the next one. Here is the baptism. So it's a nice water, huh? It's not cold like Colorado. It's a little bit warmer over there. And this is a church service, worship service. It's a little bit, different. The men sit in one row, and women sit in another row. And it's very simple church house. It's in southern part of Nepal, very close by India. And these people have gone through a lot of persecutions. you know, accepting Jesus, following Jesus Christ, they've been beat up. And one of the ladies, she had 5 stitches in her head. The people came and beat them up because of their faith in Jesus. And they say Christianity is, you know, Western religion. It's untouchable. Because of the Hindu religion, there is caste system. The high caste, second caste, and low caste. And that is the biggest thing. When you become Christians, they always say you are, you know, low caste. Christianity is low caste. So this has been very much challenging for their faith. But people are very strong. They love the Lord. They are willing to die for Jesus. They would not give up. And many, many days, they were chased out from their homes and beat up. But they kept on doing the, you know, going to church and reading the Bible and worshiping Jesus. So that's okay. Now I can stop here. So I'd like to just talk about persecutions a little bit. How's that sound? Do you guys have persecutions in Colorado, Denver? Maybe not that much, right? And we do go through a lot of persecutions. And but God is good, and I can tell you a lot of stories about how we've been stoned, becoming a you know, following Jesus and preaching the gospel. It's not like a Colorado stone; it's like Nepali stone, which is very hard. Just kidding, you know. Just it's a persecutions there. What I'm trying to say is, in the world, in different parts of the world, and in different communities, there is persecution. There is hardship. Becoming and accepting Jesus. So let's read, I want to read Matthew chapters 10, verses 7, 8, and 22. Hopefully I can read in English. If not, I'll read in Nepali. Maybe, you know, I don't know, so my wife will understand. As you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And 22, all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And when Jesus was ascending, he's sending his disciples, and he is telling them the what's going to happen to them as they go to villages and preach the name of Jesus, and they're going to go, you know, people will hate them. And but they need to do certain things. Tell them about the kingdom is near, and drive out demons, heal the sick. And it's really, you know, exciting to see how Jesus moves in those communities, and Jesus drives out demons in the name of Jesus and heal the sick. And that's where God began to do, and our community began to see the powerful Jesus. And I want to read Luke 4, 20 and 40. Luke 4, 40 and 41 too, as well. He says here, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness and having their sickness and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. And when my wife and I see this community and a lot of people in Nepal, And we just, our heart is so much filled with passions to go to tell them about Jesus. And you have to walk a lot of hours in the villages, and many, many hours, you know. But they do need to hear Jesus, because Jesus is, people need Jesus to be freed. And they need to know the living God. They need to know the Savior, Jesus. And otherwise, when we were Buddhists in the 80s, early 90s, we did not know Jesus. Communities in our neighborhoods, no one knew Jesus. No one knew Jesus. All we knew was Buddha and all those idols in our neighborhood, in our homes, and all these witchcrafts. And everything we knew was all about false God. We didn't know true God. We didn't know Jesus. And everything we did was worshiping idols and sacrificing chickens and goats and all kinds of, things that just empty ourselves, that just took away all our belongings, our money, and our hearts, and our hope wasn't met or fulfilled. The gods we worshipped, we practiced many, many years. But when Jesus was brought to our community, when Jesus was walked, in our community, then he is the one who freed us. He's the one, it just made us different. He's the one drives out demons from our lives, from our communities. Then that's where it got opened our eyes. God, that's where God touched our hearts, and we became believers, Christians, accepting Jesus, followers of Jesus. But as Jesus told the disciples, it is, difficult. It can be persecutions. It can go through, people who hate you. And we did get kicked out from the community and completely, and lost our homes and put in jails and all kinds of persecution that Jesus talks about, to his disciples. But even though we went through all these difficulties, my wife and I did training in 1986. YWAM training, and we are born in Nepal, and we were raised in Nepal, and everything is about Nepal. But we do love America and everything you guys have over here, and God is good everywhere. And we decided to go to our communities. Her family was kicked out, her uncles were kicked out, her uncle was put in jail 7 times just knowing Jesus, following Jesus Christ, and his home was knocked out, and everyone was kicked out. He was put in jail, and a lot of suffering. And as we took training, and we started really asking the Lord, God, what is your heart to us for these communities? And Sangeeta and myself, we started ministry in these villages. As you see, this baptism is just recent. We baptized 35 of them. This is southern part of Nepal, and we have seen village leaders come to know the Lord. An entire village, 90 homes come to know the Lord. Sometimes there were 71 people were baptizing. And they, when God, moves in their community, and they even bring, you just have to pray for little animals also. Sometimes you're just laying your hands onto little chickens and asking God to heal that little chickens, and goats, and buffaloes, and all kinds of animals, because they've been practicing animistic, so they always believe in a spirit. So we have done that many, many years. Even when we go to villages, you're going into the little cattle and praying for goats and stuff. It's very, very normal, But God moves. God can do anything. He can heal the chicken. He can heal the goat. He can heal the, people. God is good. God is powerful. So that's what we have been really practicing ourselves. And we have seen many people come to know the Lord. And in 1990, my wife and I went to this village. I have a few more minutes. And as we went to our community, the first thing Jesus said, heal the sick, cast out demons. And we went, it's illegal to become Christian in the community. We could not become, you know, we couldn't say we're Christians. It was very much, we have to be very secret. And so we bought little pigs, and we started little clothing stores, and started to go to villages, travel hours and hours, you know, many days we spend overnight in the villages, in the outside of the people's house, and next day we begin to preach. And sometimes I say to my team, don't tell about Jesus after five was very risky to tell about Jesus, name of Jesus, because we are going village after village. You don't really know them. And a lot of time what happened was it gets dark at 5 and you don't know the village. You're there. You're talking about Jesus. And when they come against your preaching, then you don't know where to go. You don't know where to run. It's always dark. And many times that happens. In one of the villages, 95, my group and we went and preaching the gospel. And it just we were in a little house and they started beating us. And we were able to, the lady, she put us in her house, and she protected us whole night and the whole entire village. There were 300 or more people with a stone and hitting the door and kicking out, and they were so angry, and we were five, didn't know what to do, where to run. It was dark, and first time to this village, we were asking what to do. The lady was so gracious, and she protected us whole night. She locked the door, stayed whole night in the door, and she wouldn't let them come. She said, these are my guests. Don't do anything to them tonight. Tomorrow, you just do whatever you need to. But today, they are in my house. So she protected us. And early morning, 4 o'clock, she said, you better go. They were a whole night. They were there with stones and sticks and knives. And they were so angry, preaching Christianity. She said, you better run. And run north because there is big jungles. Maybe you can get, you can hide in the jungle. So we listened to her. So she opened the door and we all ran away, five of us. And they saw we were running and they came and some of us were hit by a stone and we were limping. But running, but you just have to save your life. That's many times I was stoned. I just covered my head and run like a monkey until you can. Get to the far, and people are come chasing, and if they're far away, then you're safe. You breathe again, you run. Breathe and run. You need to be skinny, though. Not big, they can. So I've been stoned, torn my clothes, and beat up. But when you're torn, they've torn all your clothes, you're slippery. They cannot, control you. Your body is just. Then I go to my pastor's house and borrow his clothes and wear his clothes, and I look different. So it's real persecutions following Jesus, preaching the gospel of Jesus in the community. So this is what I was just, challenging you guys, that when we went to the village and preached the gospel, and there was one epileptic man in the village, and there was a woman. They said, the witch doctor said, she has been going, suffering with the demonic spirit for 11 years. And this is my village where I was born and kicked out being Christians. And we went, lost everything, and we went back to this village in 1990. And we started ministry in 91 in this village. And we went there and began to just build friendship and tell them about Jesus. And one, the epileptic man, he was hopeless. And his wife came to me one day, and she said, as I was preaching, about the name of Jesus, and telling them, people, that they can come to Jesus, and God can heal you, and God is the way to heaven. And here she comes, and she said, my husband has been suffering with epilepsy for many years. I have taken him to hospital, was 5 hours away, carrying him in the basket. It's a steep road and far away. And she says she tried a lot of things to witch doctors and stuff, and nothing helped her. Help her husband. And she said, he's desperately needing prayer for healing. And I said, okay, let's trust the Lord. And if you have faith in Jesus, I know I'd be very happy because Jesus is going to can do anything to him. And she opened up her house, and we went to the house, and we preached, told her about Jesus, all his idols and everything, just, we took out. And from that evening on, we started praying for him. And God started doing a miracle in his life. And he would get that, the epileptic, what do you call the fit? It's seizure. And every day, water and cliff, and he was hopeless. And in 3 days, he didn't have that. And that was a shock. Oh, yeah. 3 days. And they waited like 15 days, there wasn't any. And they started growing their faith in month. And 3 months, 4 months, and nothing. And but the problem is, he started coming, following me. My house is 6 hours away. He left his wife, his children. He came down, and he's after me. When I go to the bathroom, he's with me. And whenever I go, shopping, he's with me. And I said, "Wait, listen, God is going to be with you. He is with you. You don't have to follow me wherever I go." And still, it was a little bit, uncomfortable. And later, he went back to his house. He was the great testimony in the community. God healed him. Another lady was also with the demonic spirit. She was healed. And here comes the young high school guys. They begin to see, miracle of Jesus in our, community. There's like 7th graders. They were so much wanting to see new things, and we went together and prayed, like 6 or 7 of them with me. We pray for sick people and cast out little demons there, and another person is sick next day, and we became a little group and going village to village, praying for people, and began to see miracles, and God started doing, great things throughout that community and that villages, and it became a big church in that community. But the thing is, always, when kingdom of God expands, grows, there is enemy always try to disturb, always try to stop the kingdom of God, the work of the Lord. And the lady was so upset, the people in the village, and some of the people in the village were very upset. They said, "We're going to take his life, otherwise he's going to spread this unclean religion, untouchable religion in our community, and everyone will become Christians." So they were so angry, and they started stoning me. I was stoned in the middle of the village and torn my clothes, and with a big stone hit me on my face. One of the guy, he was with me, and he raised his hands on my face, and the big stone hit his hand and falls on the ground. Well, if he hadn't, raised his hands, I wouldn't have my left eye. It was so big. I was talking about Nepali stone, not Colorado stone. Big stone. She, had it, and here she hits me with tearing out my clothes, but God is good. The guy raised his hands, and I was trying to escape, and I was okay, and went to little pastor I was discipling, went to his house, borrowed his clothes, and next morning there are a lot of people again. They started stoning me and hit me with stones. I keep on running, and it became so intense that I would, my guys over there, they said, "It is not safe. Any time they will take your life." And so we just decided, what to do. I began to pray. And here is Gospel of John 11, 53 and 54. Jesus talks about a similar thing. I will read Gospel of John chapter 11, verses 53 and 54. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert, so to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. I hope you understand why I'm my English. So it just basically is what Jesus is trying to, that Jesus experiencing is people are, just plotting to kill him, take his life. And same thing in 1992, the people started, planning to take my life, and they say, we're going to kill this guy, otherwise he's going to spread this low caste, religions all over our region. So the good thing is I had a wife, and came home and, stoned and a lot of things. And here she says, I'm going to go. You don't go to the villages. Now it's my turn. Our oldest daughter, she was 6 months old. I started taking care of feeding the pigs and stores and take care of my 6 months old daughter. And Sangeeta, my wife, she walks to the villages. And she goes to the churches and she preaches the gospel. And the church is keeping uniting and growing and increasing, multiplying. And we have more than 15 churches in that area. But we went through village after village, stoned, beat up. But God is doing incredible things and God is moving powerfully. And that is Jesus. And he's good, he's powerful. And he has done that so many. So I will just show some of our slideshow. I don't think I have time much. So here is our country, and this is our community transformations, is our ministry. And I think I heard a lot of time Jason is saying transformation. So this is also transformation. This is Nepal, and we have church planting teams in different parts of Nepal, and we have orphanage in our place called Pokhara. And And this is our trip. I have an old car. When I get to that bridge, it's a wooden bridge. Sangeeta, she always gets up and she doesn't want to ride on my car. So that's okay. But she does ride on the bike, back of my bike. The other one, the first one, please. Over there, the bike is crossing the river. A lot of the rivers are flooded. Roads are... not paved like here, so you just go through the water and the water is, you just carry 1 month, in 1 week, stop Bibles and all things and wipe behind and everything is behind and you just keep on driving and make sure you don't stop in the middle of the swamp. Okay. And here's a wheelbarrow and a lady. So it's a people group called Chipang. We have community transformation ministry and we started teaching them how to use wheelbarrows, people don't know, and practical ways, advanced ways to do agriculture farming, and so they can have better food. And they are all Christians. First thing we do is we teach with them about Jesus. We tell them about the kingdom. We tell them about God. And when they all become Christians, then we begin school and some community transformation ministry so they can get better, life. And this is Goat Projects. It's a very typical community in the village. So we have been, goats are expensive, as I said earlier, that Hindu kingdom, Hindu nations, goats, the Brahmins, they say they're high caste people, so they pay for expensive they pay a lot of money for goats because pigs, they say, unclean. Chickens are also not good. But goats, they just eat grass, they think. So 1 kilogram of goat meat with skin, bone, fat, you would pay $10, the Hindus, Brahmins. So that's why goat is really good thing. So we have, bought over 30 goats, and we're helping these poor communities, families, to be able to raise their goats and sell to those people. The children, they just take care of their goats, and my youngest daughter and second daughter, they are in the village, so little baby needed prayers. And this is in the village, the water project. They didn't have water in the community. People were drinking contaminated water. Children were sick, and it was a lot of trouble. So we have been helping them building a couple of wells, you know, and piping to the village so they can get clean drinking water and farm their vegetables. So these are the wells, two of them. So they are, and children's, they are very much, you know, don't have a lot of clothes or sleepers, and they are, you know, pretty, they live in a pretty, you know, difficult place. And these are the wells, and some of these are reserve tanks above the village, so water will run down to the community. So this is a typical our motorcycle transportation. It's our church planting couple, and this is our elders meeting about goat projects and water projects. So we've been trying to work things out so we can be a little bit of better, you know, coordination, so we can begin to, you know, witness to other communities about Jesus. So this is a school and a church building in this community. All the village, everyone in the village, they became Christians, seeing God's power moving in their lives. And we built a school and a church, and the school principal is also Christians. His wife's Christians, and everyone is Christians, and the whole village is Christians. That's wonderful. And this is a typical church. So people just come in the evenings, and they do all, everyone is farmers, so in the evening they bring their children, like 9 o'clock or 10:30, 10 o'clock, they come with children in their lap, and we do Bible studies, and they learn about God. And this is typical way of baptizing when we have big groups by riverside, and we just baptize them, and it's easier for us. So this is a another one guy is over there. He's a Maoist leader. He's been a Maoist for many years, and we had a lot of Maoist problem in the country. More than 14,000 lives were killed last 12 years, and they came with guns and bombing everywhere, and he became a Christian, and he was baptized, and he knows the Lord now. He's no longer communist. So this is very typical in, this is southern part of Nepal. It's called people group called Taru. They have very little believers. There are millions of these people group, but very little witnesses. So we've been trying to reach this community. We have planted several churches, about four churches now, but it's millions of these people. They need the gospel. Many villages have not yet heard name of Jesus. So this has been our focus, our prayers to go to this community. They are very different. We will look like a foreigner to them. And this is a school, like a school teachers, Hindu school teachers. We teach this, you know, public school teachers when we go there, and we bring some teams here and teach them. They're very happy. We talk about Bible, pray, and they're all Hindus, but we bring the gospel, tell them about Jesus, and the schools they beat up with children, and my children come with big lump, what do you call that, you know, the teacher will hit with a stick, and when they don't do, you know, do homework, or they don't really have the right answers, and they just hit you. And my 12 years old, she was hit by this teacher's both leg, and it was big, what do you call that, blisters, what? Yeah, and she both legs, and she couldn't walk. She came home like this, and it's been like that. So we've been trying to help the school teachers how to discipline children. And this is a toilet, and first time in the community, no one goes to toilet, no one builds a toilet. So first time we built a toilet, they were excited. They had a garland over there, and they said, "Wow, this is a wonderful little house." And it's been a eye-opening and opening the gospel door opening to teach them about Jesus. And this is very typical, you know, we just pray for people in the villages. Okay, yes. Jason, it's time is over. I'd like to, okay. So, my motorcycle is always not reliable. And we were 1 week church planting village trip. And over here in the water, my wife and my 1 week Bible, blankets, sleeping bags, foods, everything over there. And on the way to the east, when we were returning home, it broke completely. Then we stopped a passenger bus, 40 passengers in the bus, and we just asked them if we can load it on the top of the passenger bus, roof of the passenger bus. And so, but we need a lot of men to, you know, lift that back up, and it's more than 10 hours, you know, bus journey to our home. So we were able to take the bike to our house, and we fix it. And these are pretty much the southern part of Nepal, and they are Tauri people, very little gospel, very little Christians. They need Jesus. It's very much desperate need of Jesus. So we've been trying to helping them. And the other one is our church is in the west. And a lot of the men we do Hansa. There's men every, there's other men in down below, and two men, you know, and we cut the log, and that's very, you know, very much the how they cut the logs, and they build churches like that in the village. And this is, these are women. This is Tauri people group. And we have seen a big number of people come to know the Lord, and they are so strong in the Lord. They are learning about the gospel, about Jesus in their own native language. So it becomes more effective in their community. So these women are so much dedicated. They do all the church work. Men just do the windows and doors, but they do all this work. We don't have cement or anything in the village. What we do is just the dirt. You know, you get on the ground and you chop the hay in little pieces and mix it up. And just you just, you know, plaster the wall so it get a little sticky. Then it doesn't fall easily, just the dirt, it falls easily. So that's what they've been doing many days. And some are making the pastry and some are, you know, plastering the wall of the church. And that's the complete church like that, the tin roof and little church. And the buffalo and the smoke in the village, there are a lot of mosquitoes. And people don't have nets or it's hot. And they don't have money even to buy a mosquito net. It costs like $7. And what they do is everyone smoke the whole village. You smoke, you know, 5 o'clock, you do 5 o'clock. Everyone smoke. The entire village is covered with the smoke. And mosquitoes is goes away, but you have a hard time breathing. I guess mosquitoes also don't have strong lungs. They run away, and everyone do this. And I say, hey, listen, we should do something else. They said, it's not a Christian village. They said, it's just the way we, you know, get rid of the mosquitoes. So it's been, we need to do something to this community, you know, teach them about Jesus and new ways to help them out with mosquitoes. And this is our orphanage, which is in a little outside of Pokhara, and we have 10 children and a little home, and we're building another house because of leopards, and we have a lot of leopards in our communities, and they attack children. And two of my monkeys were killed by a leopard. And we have dog almost every night. The leopard comes and attack. And it's for children. We had we didn't have, you know, good housing because the toilets were outside. They, you know, they when they need to go to, you know, toilet at night, it was very risky. So we're building another house that they could be the toilet inside, so they could be safe. So this is a children and a Christmas party just last year. And chicken feed, that is very tasty. Yeah, it's just people love it. The little guy, our orphan guy, and the couple take care of the children. And this is our house, and that's a mountain called Fishtail, and it's pretty sharp. So this is all about a ministry. Well, Jason, thank you. If you have any questions, you know, you could just talk to Jason's or us. Thank you for taking your time.
It's not very often that we get to hear the teaching and the elevate you, Mohan, but it's not very often we get to be in the presence of someone who is doing what this couple is doing. So it's an honor to have you. It's an honor for you to thank you for coming. Thank you for allowing us to support you financially. We thank you as a church for challenging us. How many were challenged tonight? Yeah. I just felt led to ask Mohan if you're okay with that. Just ask you to pray for us as a church. You know, we think we go through persecution if someone cuts in front of us at the grocery store. Or we think we're persecuted because someone sees our Christian bumper sticker and they cut in front of us. I mean, come on. That's just life. That's not persecution. And we think persecution is when we are, maybe we're a cranky Christian and people don't like us, and we think, well, they don't like me because I'm just a Christian. No, they don't like you because you're grumpy and no one likes to be around you. But you've walked through real persecution because you wanted to give them hope and life. And I think that would do us good, actually. So would you just pray for us? And just pray whatever's on your heart. And I feel really challenged in my heart tonight. The purity of your ministry, that's where it's at. It's about Jesus. It's about nothing else. We will stand before the throne of God, and it will be about one thing, Jesus. Nothing else. And you've shown this. You've shown us that tonight by your ministry and your spirit, and Sangeeta, you as well. How many would love for this man to pray for us? I want him to. All right. Will you just pray? Pray over us. And let's posture our hearts to receive and trust what the Lord would give him to pray over us as a church. So Mohan, please.
Yes, Father, I want to thank you because you are incredible, God.
Yes.
And we have seen amazing work of the Spirit in our lives and throughout the world, Lord. So we are so much desperate of you in our lives to move on, to transform in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you this evening that, Lord, our hearts are longing to be like you and to be able to show love of Jesus, shine the light of Jesus to our friends, to our neighbors, to our community, to the world around us. Lord, I just want to just ask your anointing over each one of us and the church in the United States and church and families in the United States. I ask for your special revival anointing, that the church will be empowered and the gospel of Jesus Christ will just go forth, and Lord, they will begin to see the blessing of Jesus come to this country. And we are so concerned how things have changed. And just we want to pray, Lord, that righteousness will come in this nation. Your love will pour out to these generations in this country, Lord. We just want to thank you. God, you are all powerful and God, that this nation has been a blessing to the world, and many the mission organizations and gospel has been started, and many people have been supporting throughout the world, and the America has been always the generous nation, generous people on earth, and we want to keep on proclaiming, declaring that Jesus God, that this people of this nations will keep on doing that and trusting the Lord, following Jesus, and they will live in the blessing of Christ in their lives, in family lives. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we want to just express our love to you. And also, Lord, we want to cry out our passions for the unreached in the nations all over the world, Lord, that you would just direct us. You would just lead towards that. Our hearts, our desire would be telling the name of Jesus to the people, those who have not heard the name of Jesus yet. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful partnership together, that we can make difference. We can be more effective. We can take more of the things of Jesus together in the world. Lord, we just want to thank you. I just ask your blessing in this church and all this people of God in these nations. Lord, I thank you for all this commitment, their prayers, their love for Jesus. Keep on just giving, pouring out your Spirit, O Lord, and just bless them abundantly. Give them your joy and peace and hunger and thirst of Jesus in their lives, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.